Thank you for the Fire Breathing Baptist Fellowship, for the church service this evening as well. I pray that you would fill Pastor Aaron Thompson with your spirit and just enable him to preach his sermon for us boldly, give him clarity of mind. And also, Lord, I pray that you would minimize distractions for us in the building so that we can learn as much as possible from the message and apply it to our Christian lives. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. It's great to be here at Steadfast Baptist Church, and very happy to be able to kick off the conference here. And I just want to say thank you to Pastor Shelley for having me come, and thank you to the Steadfast family for putting this on. I am a little bit confused, though, because I, for some reason, I thought Pastor Shelley didn't work here anymore, so I wasn't sure like what was going on. I don't know what Dylan's doing here. I thought he was fired, too, but you know, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. Amen. So the title of my sermon tonight is, O Israel, Thou Hast Destroyed Thyself. Look at verse number 2 in Hosea chapter 13. It says, And now they sin more and more, and have made them molten images of their silver and idols according to their own understanding, and all of it the work of the craftsmen. They say unto them, Let the men that sacrifice kiss the calves. Therefore they shall be as the morning cloud and as the early dew that passeth away, as the chaff that is driven with the whirlwind out of the floor, and as smoke out of the chimney. Yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. I did know thee in the wilderness and in the land of great drought, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled, and their heart was exalted. Therefore have they forgotten me. Therefore I will be unto them as a lion, as a leopard by the way will I observe them. I will meet them as a bear that is bereaved of her whelps, and will rend the call of their heart. And there will I devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. And the reason why I'm preaching this is because I see a lot of Christians destroying themselves today. And, you know, we are obviously the nation of Israel now that we are in the New Testament, we're the spiritual Israel. And in this chapter, it's talking about, you know, these people that are in Samaria. And eventually, God does bring the lions against them, doesn't he? And, you know, Israel is destroyed out of the land. And then all you have left is Judah, because they basically destroyed themselves. You know, Christians destroy themselves on their own sometimes. And sometimes the devil doesn't have to do it. Sometimes the enemies of God don't do it. Sometimes it's just us destroying ourselves because we don't listen to God's word and what he tells us to do. We don't keep his commandments. We forget the Lord. Look at verse number 6. It says, they were filled and their heart was exalted. Sometimes Christians get filled and their heart gets exalted. You know, that's the last thing that we should be as Christians, is have exalted hearts and hearts that would be proud. We should be humble. And it says, therefore have they forgotten me. We never want to get into the place where we forget God. As Christians, we have a lot of battles to fight, don't we? I mean, obviously, Steadfast is in a huge battle right now. I've been in a huge battle. And what I've noticed that every time there's some kind of huge battle, there's always a bunch of people that just kind of destroy themselves. They go along with these false prophets, or they get a shine for the homos. They just can't handle the hard preaching anymore. You know, this is the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship. And guess what? Tonight, there's going to be some hard preaching. This whole conference is going to be filled with fire preaching. If you didn't come here for that, then what are you here for? But the devil will try to destroy us. And you know, all these things are things that God tries to prepare us for. You know, we as pastors, we preach this over and over again. Hey, don't get caught up in this. Don't get caught up with these freakos that are trying to destroy our churches, but yet you see it happen all the time, don't they? They're always, you know, just getting caught up, and you know, they believe everything, just like a simple person would. We say, hey, don't be simple, and yet people are just simple. They believe everything that comes out of these freaks' mouths and all these people that come up and rise up against us. And they're like, well, maybe it's true. You know, maybe Pastor Shelley really did get fired. It's like, hello. Yeah, and a lot of times it's people that don't go to our churches, but every once in a while it's people that actually do go to our churches. They get caught up, and then they end up destroying themselves. You know what? God will destroy Christians' lives. He will. If you get away from his commandments and the way that we're supposed to be 3 to thrive, right? As Baptists, You know, the Bible doesn't say be three to thrive, but it says be in the house of the Lord as much as, you know, as much as there's a service, you should be there, right? And so we have all these battles going on. You know, even in soul winning, we go to doors and we're in a battle with the flesh. We're battling against their flesh. We're trying to give them the Spirit of God, and they battle with us. We get excuses, all kinds of excuses why they don't want to get saved. They have all kinds of excuses why they don't want to hear the Word of God. You know, you're trying to give someone the gospel, and you have kids start crying. They're all of a sudden, they're really interested in their parents, right? And they want to talk, you know, mommy, mommy, help me with this. And you're just trying to get these people saved. We deal with all kinds of battles. You know, the cat's behind the microwave. You know, I got to go. I'm right in the middle of an online match. You know, can you come back a little bit later? Hey, can you come back next week? I'm on my way to work. You know, we deal with so many different things. But the last thing we need to do is destroy ourselves. You know, we need to understand that we got to stay in the fight. We got to stay in the battle as Christians. And we have a lot of factors going on. We live in a fallen and imperfect world. You know, not only do we have to deal with the devil, we have to fight against the world and the devil's children. We have to fight against the flesh at the door. But we also live in a fallen and imperfect world where things just happen out of the blue, like getting hit by a car and, you know, getting in a car accident, just all kinds of things. Time and chance happen to everyone, right? But we also have a battle against our own fleshly minds and our own fleshly bodies. And we try to subject our bodies. We try to subject the flesh and walk in the Spirit. And we try to kill that old man and walk in the new man, right? That's something that we're actively trying to do as Christians. But just being honest with ourselves, a lot of the times the reason why we fail is because we destroy ourselves. Because we don't listen to the Word of God. Because we are just sinful people. But you know, I wanted to give you some ways tonight on how the Israel of God destroys their own selves and how we can get out of these pitfalls. And so, number one, here's one thing that I've noticed a lot. And look, there could be a long list of things, but I'm just going to give you some tonight because there's a lot of things that we can destroy ourselves with. But number one, wrong fellowship. Wrong fellowship can get us destroyed and get us out of God's will to where He's actually punishing us just like He's punishing His own children in this chapter. You know, God's going to punish His own children just like you would punish your children and take them in the back and give them a spanking. Well, when we destroy ourselves by getting out of His will and sinning and all these different things, then God's going to get angry with us. And He's going to chasten us just like He was chasing the children of Israel here. So turn to Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. So the number one tonight, wrong fellowship can get us destroyed by God. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be what? Destroyed." Right? So God's people can get out of His will by being a companion of fools, of unsaved people, or just foolish people in general. Even saved believers can act foolishly, can't they? And so you don't want to, you know, be magnetized towards the people that are the biggest troublemakers in the church or troublemakers outside these doors. You know, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. We don't want to be destroyed, right? That's the whole point of the sermon. How can we not be destroyed? Well, hey, number one, don't get in wrong fellowship. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 14, I'll give you a second to turn over there. Be not unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. So are we supposed to hang out and be best friends with unbelievers? No. And why not? Well, God's telling us here we're not to do that. Be not unequally yoked. Don't hang out with them. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now, what does Christ have to do with the devil? They don't have anything to do with each other. They're polar opposites. What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? Someone that's a believer, someone that's saved, we have no part with the infidel. Obviously, getting people saved, you love your family, things like that, but don't let that be a stumbling block to you where you get destroyed also. Because I preach this a lot, but you can get caught up where you're caring more about what your family wants than what God wants. And people say, well, you're trying to make people into a cult and tell them to stay away from their family. No, I'm not telling you to stay away from your family. I'm telling you to stay away from family that would be damaging your Christian life. Don't go, what's wrong with you? Why are you going to church? Why are you going to church on a Wednesday night? Why would you go to this crazy conference? Why would you go to a conference where they're talking about fire breathing? What is this all about? It says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Now pay attention to this verse, it's really important. Wherefore, come out from among them. If you're already doing this, what's God want you to do? He wants you to come out from among them and be separate. That's what we call biblical separation. Hey, sometimes you need to walk away from that old friend that's dragging you down. Those old unsaved people that you used to hang around with and you've been friends with them for who knows how long, you know what? They will turn against you like that. You know why? Because you are of Christ now. And they will see that and they'll try to do whatever they can to claw you back in to your old life. It says, touch not, be separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now pay attention to this too. It says, be holy, for I am holy. Biblical separation we don't just talk about being separated for no reason. The Bible commands us to be separated, to live a separated life. And so the one thing that people do to destroy themselves is they start going and hang around those old people again. And that's not something that we should be doing, because you know what? You're going to destroy yourself. Why is God warning us against this? Because a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Amos chapter 3, verse 1. Actually, let's look at verse number 3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? What's the answer to that question? No. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Why would you want to walk together with someone that doesn't agree with you? It's just like people that leave our church or whatever, and they're like, hey, let's still hang out together. You don't agree. You don't agree anymore. But why do you want to hang around people that you don't agree with? And why would you as a church member want to hang around someone that doesn't like your church? Doesn't like your pastor? Oh, I still just want to be friends with you. Why? What's the reason? What's the purpose? You don't like my pastor. You don't like my church. You don't like our doctrine. Well, then why would I want to hang around with you? Now, look, I'm not saying that everybody that leaves a church is bad or wicked or something. Some of them are, though. Some of them have a motive to try to keep their hooks into people. And this is something I see as a pastor all the time. I'm just going to leave quietly. But then they never leave quietly, do they? You always hear them smacking their gums and talking. And you know what? It comes back to me. I still hear it. Your pastor still hears it. And, it's just weird that someone will want to hang around someone that's just bad-mouthing their pastor or bad-mouthing their church. Bad-mouthing the new IFB. Oh, I feel so much better now that I'm out of this new IFB. Well, good. Have fun back at your lame church. Why'd you even come to a church like this? If you just wanted to go back to Lamesville, where you have to restart the soul winning program. It's like, no, shouldn't the pastor be running the soul winning program? So look, wrong fellowship is going to get you destroyed. You know, if you want to hang around that lame-o that wants to go back and go to some non-denominational church or something, you're like, well, we're still brothers in Christ. Okay, but why don't you hang around the people that you fellowship with on a weekly basis? You come to church, you're in the trenches with them, you're going to battle with them. Why would you want to go with some softy, Mr. Softy, that doesn't want to, be in the battle anymore? You know what? That's going to make you weak. It's going to make you lose your edge. Well, we don't have any battles at our church. We just have purple lights and smoke. And we sing, songs, we wave our hands back in the air and we carry the TV, you know, we carry the television. It's like those churches are lame. Are they going soul winning? No. Hey, in 2021, we need to be in the best church we could possibly be in. Well, I don't agree with everything the pastor says. So? Do you have to agree with everything the pastor says or believes to come to this church? No, I mean, but you better believe the essential doctrines, amen? But look, wrong fellowship can have long-lasting effects in your life. You pick the wrong person to marry. You pick the wrong business partner. You pick the wrong friends. And you hang out with the wrong church people. Going back and hanging out with your old friends and going back to your old haunts. Well, it's okay for me to go back to the bar because I don't drink anymore. That's a wrong way to think. That's not, you know, the place you should be hanging out with or the people you should be hanging out with. Unsaved family members with big influence. Hey, what is your dear sweet grandmother telling your children when they spend the night at their house? Don't worry, when you're 18, you can just move out. You know, I love my parents too. I love my grandparents too, but like there are certain times, you know, when I just would be like, well, I don't want them to go over to your house because every time they do, they're coming back saying things that I don't agree with. What right does your grandparents have to tell you how to raise your children? They don't have any right. They don't have the right to tell you what church to go to, how they should be dressing, or anything like that. That's the parents' job. So when, you know, obviously, you know, we care and want to have a good influence with our children, with people that they go to, but why would you put them in the hands of someone that's trying to tear down everything that you believe? Turn to James chapter 4, verse 4. James chapter 4, verse 4. Pastor Shelley took the clock and turned it off of military time, so I can't read the time, so you need to get up and stretch during any time in this sermon, then be my guest. It's going to be a long one. All right. We're going for midnight tonight. The ice cream's melting. Do you get double ice cream when you break the record? Is that? No, okay. I don't know. Just. All right. James 4:4 says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." And what does an enemy do? They destroy you, don't they? So guess what? If you're a friend of the world, if you want to be at friendship with the world, you're polar opposites with God. You can be saved and still be an enemy of God. And so what I'm trying to help you with tonight is that if you have the wrong type of fellowship, you could destroy yourself. Because once God becomes your enemy, he'll destroy you, right? And the Bible says in verse 5, it says, "Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy?" Because we do lust to envy. We do lust after things. The children of Israel were always wanting to go back to Egypt. We're always whining about Moses and about Aaron, about the leadership. And so sometimes the battle can get hard. And we go through lots of battles. And you're like, well, I'm just going to go hang out with the people from my old church. That's a bad mistake. And you know what? You're going to end up destroying yourself. Number two is tolerating homos, chomos, and other clear reprobates in church or in your life. Number two is tolerating homos, chomos, and other clear reprobates in church or in your life. Because, you know, there's a problem in America today, isn't there? With homos being allowed to come in to the church services. But there's also a problem in the Christian life where homos are allowed inside your life in one way, shape, or form. You're like, well, you know, my cousin, he's not like all the ones. The other ones are child molesters, not my cousin. I know him. I grew up with him. That's not true, folks. If they're a homo, they're given over to a reprobate mind. If they're a chomo, they should never be allowed to set foot in this church for any reason whatsoever. Or any other clear reprobates. You know, we don't just let people come into our churches that are preaching another gospel like a lot of Baptist churches do. Don't a lot of Baptist churches like anybody can just believe whatever they want? Over here, we got the repent of your sins. We got the lordship over here. Salvation by faith alone. This is the good section right here. And then you got, you know, people that are, you know, believe that Jesus' name is Yeshua. And then you got other people that are Calvinists over here. That ought not to be in God's house. We ought not to let these reprobate false prophets into our churches to say whatever they want and do whatever they want. You should be thankful that you have a pastor that grabs someone by the back of the neck and toss them out this church. And so we can't tolerate these type of people in our churches or in our personal lives. I've said this before, and I'm not the first one to come up with it, but if it's your Siamese twin, cut that Siamese twin off and get him out of your life. Because nobody's born that way, folks. Why is it that there's identical twins that are identical in every area except for one's a queer and one's not? You know why? Because they're not born that way. Because otherwise they'd be genetically and everything would be exactly like the other one. If they're identical twins, right? But there's identical twins. I know there was some in the NBA, you know, that I think it was like Jason Collins or something like that. And he was a queer and his brother wasn't. You know, and these queers don't last long in these professional sports. The NFL might be embracing them, but in the locker room, they're like, get away from you, fag. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17. Like, well, Pastor Thompson, you're just like picking the easy ones tonight. Well, it's the Fire-Breathing Baptist Fellowship, folks. I'm going to bring it up. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 17 says, there shall be no whore of the daughters of Israel, nor a sodomite of the sons of Israel. So look, sodomites are not going to be sons of Israel because saved people aren't fags, right? And God says they're not to be in the house of the Lord. Look, it says in verse 18, thou shalt not bring the hire of a whore or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God. So, you know, it says whore, the price of a whore, and then it says a sodomite or a dog. So the Bible's comparing a sodomite to a dog. And a dog licks its own behind, doesn't it? A dog will jump on your leg or anything else and you know, do things that are disgusting. You know, and it's the same thing with a sodomite. They'll just sit there and do disgusting things also, won't they? Things that I won't name in the house of the Lord. Turn to Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. There's a reason why those freaks out there aren't allowed to come in here. And that really makes them mad. But it's really funny because I'm sure there's a lot of churches that would let them in. But what do they want to do? They want to be accepted. Oh, I just want you to, you have to accept me. No, we don't. I know that America is looking bad right now, but there's still some people that believe in the truths of the Bible. They're left in this world. We're not all communists. Amen. But look what it says in Revelation chapter 22, verse 14. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, and they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are what? Dogs. They're without. So are there any dogs in heaven? I'm not talking about literal dogs here. I'm talking about the fags that are outside of the doors of the church. They're outside. They're supposed to be outside of the doors of the church house, and they're going to be outside of the doors in heaven too. Right. Without our dogs.
Right.
So that's why they stay out there. They don't come in here. Thank God you have a church that you can go to where dogs are not allowed. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11. And keeping them out is a good deed. It's something that the Bible calls good. Keeping them out of the house of the Lord, tolerating them in church. There's a zero tolerance policy for dogs. Look at 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11. It says, and Asa did that which was what? Right in the eyes of the Lord, as did David his father. And he took away the sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his father had made. So Asa did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. He took the, and then the next thing is he took the sodomites out. Sounds like Israel had a little bit of a sodomite problem, and when a righteous king would get in there, he said, you know what? Get these faggots out of here. Round them up, take them out, stone them with stones. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 46. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 46. And people act like this is so shocking, but it really shouldn't be shocking. It should not be shocking because, yes, it is in the Bible. 1 Kings 22, verse 46 says, "And the remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land." This is Jehoshaphat, right? Jehoshaphat said, "You know what? There's a few that my father missed. Guess what? I'm going to take them out of the land also. The remnant that was left. Get them out of here." And, you know, they're always slithering around and hiding and hiding in closets. They don't have to hide in the closets anymore now, do they? They're just free range, do whatever they want. They can stand outside with their green hair and their faggoty nail polish and whatever else they have on. Look what it says in 1 Kings chapter 23, verse 7. And this is talking about Josiah. It says, "And he break down the houses of the Sodomites, which were by the house of the Lord." So Josiah was like, "Hey, I got to get right with God. I'm saved now. I've read the Bible. The Bible's been read to me. But you know what I really need to do is I need to get these Sodomites out of here. They're close to the house of the Lord." And he destroyed their houses that were just close by. And so you're trying to tell me that they should be allowed in when their houses were destroyed that were just close by? I don't think so. We can't tolerate homos or chomos or any other queer reprobates in church or in our lives. The men of God back then didn't tolerate it. But why would we tolerate it? Nothing's changed in that area. There's not one single homosexual that's saved. Not one single one. They're all reprobate. And you know what? They're all predators. And they all would love to just get in here and cause havoc in this church. But you got a man of God here that's still the pastor, by the way. He hasn't been fired by these stupid clowns. And let me just ask you this. Has Ryan Gallagher ever been to this church before? Has he ever set foot in Steadfast Baptist Church, but yet he's going to claim that he's the vice president and treasurer of this church? Yeah, I think Judas was the one that was holding the bag, right? Of course he wants to be the treasurer. What a stinking Judas he really is. And you know what? People were doubting whether he was a Judas before. Are you doubting now? Do you have any doubt in your mind now that he's a Judas? Of course, you already know the other morons are Judases also. So there's a lot of people out there that would love nothing more than to actually really overthrow this church. And they're trying everything they can to do. They're literally just making up the fact that they are actually presidents and vice presidents of this church and trying to, you know, steal the church. Not trying to steal. They stole the church's money. They stole it. Guess what? When you take over somebody's bank account and you put it into another bank account, it doesn't matter whether you spent the money or not. You stole it. You took it and you put it someplace else so that they couldn't access it. That's theft. And anybody that doesn't see it that way is stupid. If you're in here and you're doubting this story at all, then what are you even doing here? But anyway, that was a commercial break. Hold on, I got to get back to this other stuff. Because they are reprobates. You shall know them by their fruits. Right? Isn't that how you know what a false prophet is? By their fruits. What is the fruit of Ryan Gallagher? To be a thief? To be a con artist? To steal people's money and use it for his own devices? To try to steal the money at Steadfast Baptist Church when he's never even stepped foot in here before? He has nothing to do with Steadfast Baptist Church, and yet he's trying to say that he is part of the directors. He owns Steadfast. Hey, turn in all your keys, your passwords, turn it all over, you know, buttermilk biscuit, the lawyer, whatever. Butters. What a joke. What a foolish thing to do. But you know what? People that are reprobates have delusions of grandeur, and they think that they're smarter than everybody else, don't they? But you know who's smarter than them? God. You know who's going to make things work out for our good? God. So it doesn't matter if some reprobate is smarter than us in any way, shape, or form, because God's going to cut them down. And guess what? We've read the end of Revelation. Guess who wins? Is it the dogs? No, they're without. Is it the reprobates? No, they're without. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So anyway, back to the reprobate thing. Okay, well, there are reprobates, but anyway, it's still a sub-point, okay? All right, so John Getch. Everybody knows who John Getch is. It's seen any of the, you know, and you're like, well, Pastor Thompson, don't you have any new material? But I was thinking about this, and when all that stuff happened where John Getch is saying every person on the earth, on this earth deserves respect and dignity regardless of their sexual orientation. John Getch is a preacher, and he works for Paul Chapel at Lancaster Baptist Church. And I've actually heard John Getch preach many, many years ago, and, you know, I thought he was okay back in the day. I mean, he's obviously clearly preached some stuff that shows that he doesn't even really believe the right gospel. Because how could someone that believes the right gospel say that every person on this earth deserves respect and dignity regardless of their sexual orientation? This is one of the biggest churches in the country. This is one of the biggest churches in independent Baptist churches, definitely on the West Coast. Am I right about that, Pastor Mejia? Okay. And so who's the West Coast Baptist Pope? It's Paul Chapel. And he has this big, you know, thing where he invites all these pastors every year to come and listen to his wisdom. You know, there's all these church, these people that get sent out from this church, and they all end up being lame churches, by the way. Because, you know, you got to know them by their fruits. So I was just back looking at to see if, like, maybe Paul Chapel had changed his mind. Maybe he'd come to the conclusion that, you know, he was wrong and maybe changed his doctrinal statement, but he hasn't changed it at all. It's still the same. He's just like hunkering down on this. And basically, here's what he said. I'm just going to remind you of some things that Paul Chapel said. You know, and in his doctrinal statement, it says, number one, when it comes to, you know, human sexuality or whatever, it says, in keeping with our beliefs regarding the purpose of the church and regarding human sexuality as expressed in the statement of faith, our doctrine necessitates the following. All people are welcome to attend our regular worship services. All people. Will that include the dogs that are supposed to be without? Yes. He's saying all people. It might as well be a Presbyterian church with rainbow flags hanging down the side of it. Independent Baptist Church is saying all are welcome? Uh-uh. There's some people that are not welcome at this church. There's some people that are not welcome at our church in Vancouver, Washington. And when we spot those fairies, they get bounced. They don't come in. Dogs are without. But at Lancaster Baptist Church, all people are welcome, for we believe that all the people need and deserve to hear the truth of the gospel. I agree with that before they became reprobates, before they became homos, before they became all these freaks and fairies. Those who attend may not display and promote behavior that demonstrates violations of the sinful behaviors listed in the section in church services on the church grounds or at church functions. Praise the Lord. You know, we shouldn't have to see that disgusting stuff, right? But, you know, if you just never let them in, you don't even have to have that rule right there because they shouldn't be able to be there in the first place. You know, but that's a good rule, right? But C says, church representatives shall enforce the doctrinal position of the church, but shall not display overt disrespect for those who condone or display or for those who condone or display the sinful behaviors listed in this section. So if they see some queer doing some kind of queer thing at their church, They can't even act disgusted by it. You're going to tell now, I mean, you're going to tell people what they should think and how they should feel? What's the Bible say? The Bible says they're not allowed in church. Why would you think that it's wrong for one of your representatives to say, "Oh, you're disgusting. Get out, you filth." Why would that be wrong? So the people that get in trouble are the representatives that have like some, they're angry about some queer kissing in the service or something. You let them come into your church, what do you think's going to happen? And so obviously they had to put this rule in place for a reason, didn't they? Because I'm sure it happened. So, but they can't even display overt disrespect for those who condone or display the sinful behaviors listed in this section. So they can get, it's okay for them to do it. You just have to enforce it. Well, how do they enforce it? Do you think that they actually pick them up and throw them out of the church? Don't do that again. And then that queer can go to the Paul Chapel and go, "They were mean to me. They told me that it was sinful." When you come to this church and anything like that ever happened, there'd probably be the whole church pushing you out the front door. Amen? Yeah. And then D, it says the pastor of the church will consistently preach against all forms of sinful sexual behavior as well as other sinful behavior. So they always got to throw it in like it's just the same as just regular fornication. Or it's just that, you know, it's not even close. It's not even the same ballpark. You do that sin, it's obvious that you're a reprobate. And you shouldn't even be allowed in the church. Now, obviously, I'm going back in time here again. Like, Pastor Thompson, you're getting old. You're bringing up the old stuff. The old stuff still applies because they're still allowing this to take place. And look, people look at Lancaster Baptist Church as an example. They get their little books and they have them on their little turnstiles in their churches. They sell his books in their church services. They sell, when he comes, he's doing a sell-a-thon. He's got his partner that he's preaching with, and they're sitting there selling books to the people. You know, and what books are they selling? His weakness. Everything that he believes, that's what they believe too. Everything that he puts in his books, they worship that. He is like the literal pope of the independent fundamental Baptists. And obviously, some people don't like him. But he's condoning queers being in his church service. He's saying all are welcome. Now, that Born This Way Ministries, remember that happening a while back? It really, you don't really hear much about it anymore. They kind of slithered away under the rocks a little bit. But there's this guy, S.M. Davis, that has a website, and he's like, help for the family, help for the home, help for the church. He still promotes that book on his website. I just looked because it's been a long time since I kind of looked into it to see if they're still, you know, maybe they got too much heat for it, and they kind of slithered away, which they did. But this S.M. Davis is supposed to be this independent fundamental Baptist. He's a retired pastor, and he on his website, he still has the Born That Way After All. Still selling it and promoting it on his website. And I looked at one of the things that it has on there, one of the promotions that it has about the book from a guy named Doug Hammett. Now, Doug Hammett, I kind of looked him up, and he was basically like a former pastor in Idaho. You know, Pastor Jones, you know, neck of the woods over there. But this guy is now like a missionary in South Africa. Well, listen to what he said, how he recommended this book, Born That Way After All. It says, "This book was recommended by a friend I respect, but I entered into it, reading it very skeptical until I got about a quarter of the way in. Mr. Nixon," that's the guy that wrote the book, Johnny Nixon, has taken hold of a passage that's long perplexed many and given a very plausible interpretation." And what he's talking about here is he's talking about the doctrine of being a eunuch. You know, some people are born eunuchs. You know, some people are made eunuchs. Some people are eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake, right? And what the book teaches is that, you know, that they're not actual fags. They were born that way after all, but they were eunuchs, right? Anybody follow me? Everybody remember that? Yeah, okay. So he's saying that some of the sweeping opinions may not resonate completely, but this foundation is sound. He may just have the answer for many caught in this trap. So what is this book teaching? That they were born that way after all. That there is hope because now you see them for what they are. They're just confused eunuchs. So go ahead and let them teach in your Sunday school class. Go ahead and let them in your church. Go ahead and let them in leadership. Do you see how dangerous this is? No wonder why Baptist churches are just allowing these homos to come in and come into their churches. We just may have the answer for many caught in this trap. Well, you know what? When they come into your church, they're going to catch you in a trap. It says this book is very much worth consideration by anyone who is concerned about the subject of homosexuality and lesbianism and concerned about following biblical truth at the same time. They're saying this is biblical truth. Anybody that promotes that sick book and teaches it and gives it to people that has some homo son or homo daughter is not right with God. Because they can't be seriously looking at the Bible and thinking that this garbage is true. If you're a homo, you're not born a homo. If you're a homo, don't fall for this lie. You're a reprobate. That's what you are. And you are going to burn that way. You weren't born that way. You're not a eunuch, you're a faggot. That's what you are. So don't let any pastor tell you that you're just born that way after all. You're just a eunuch. You're a queer. The best thing to do is put a bullet through your own brain and save the human race a little bit of suffering. And if you're a parent of a homo, don't fall for this garbage. Don't fall for this trash. You should have nothing to do with them. Yes, your own children have nothing to do with them. Your uncle have nothing to do with them. Grandma and grandpa turn into homos. Have nothing to do with them. Do you think that doesn't happen? It does happen. Because people become reprobates at various different ages, right? I've heard of people that their parents split up when they were older, and one of them becomes a homo. How did that happen? Well, they turned into a reprobate. That's how it happened. They're capable of everything. They're capable of anything. Now, let me just make myself clear. If you have a homo child or any homo family member, you should have nothing to do with them, and you should not especially let your children be babysat by them. You should let your children have nothing to do with them. You're like, you mean just cut off the relationship between the siblings? Yes! Cut it off. Let me tell you what these people are like. I've been having this homo who's been threatening to kill me for the last couple days. He said, I will end you and your church. And obviously, these people do this kind of stuff all the time, right? Pastor Mejia, it's like, he's getting all, he can't even check his voicemails anymore. Pastor Shelley, you know, this happens to them all the time. I know it happens to me too, but this person said, here's what I said. I'm just going to tell you my part too a little bit here. I said, I'm really scared. He said, you should be. I saw your church video about Ryan Gallagher, and it was so funny to me that your church was showing its true colors. If I were you, I wouldn't be walking around without a helmet because I'll smash your skull with a baseball bat. I mean, you're clearly asking for it. Else, you'd cover your head, absolute scumbag. And, you know, I just perceived that this guy might be a homo, okay? I just was throwing a wild stab in the dark. I said, bring it on, faggot. And he said, beep, 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 bigoted scum. I hope your life was worth it. I just put fag. And then he just like starts all cap typing, lots of expletives. You asked for it, I'll show you and stop, blah, 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 blah. I don't want to read some of this because it's pretty bad, but he said, you're the one that should be scared and I don't need to tell you anything. I just know you pissed the wrong person off. Heard that before. I just said, faggot. He said, good, I don't care. So I got him. I knew he was, right? He said, good, I don't care. I said, fag. And then, okay, so he's threatened to murder me, right? He's threatened to end me in my church. He's so loving and he has such a sweet spirit, right? He says, wow, very Christ-like of you. No cop in the right mind would defend you. You're a bigot and blah, 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 blah. And I said, it's obvious you are one. And he said, more judgment and hate. It's people like you that make Christianity look awful. You and your church are, beep, unless useless, ignorant waste of oxygen that need to be destroyed. You don't know anything about me. And homophobia is like racism, hating on someone or being their true self. I guess it's easy to take such a relaxed stance when you aren't the one affected by this stuff. Nothing more to say to you. And it's funny, he's like, you're not being very Christ-like as after he's threatened to murder me, right? I said, as you threaten to murder me over a video that's encouraging people to get their money back from a thief, I said, you're nuts. You know, and so, I mean, there's been some back and forth, but he's basically threatening to kill me and my family and destroy my church. And so why would I not want a person like this in my church? He's threatening to murder me, and then he, like, says I don't have a Christ-like spirit because I called him a faggot because that's what he is. And they should not be in our churches. Okay, I'm done with that point. Number three, following false prophets and bad people off a cliff. Following false prophets and bad people off a cliff. I mean, some of this stuff is just kind of near to my heart right now, so I don't know where I came up with these points. But anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11. How would you destroy yourself by letting homos and all these reprobates in your life? Because they're predators. They're going to hurt you. They want to hurt your family. You leave them alone for 1 second with your children, and they might do something to corrupt them that might not ever be able to come undone in their mind. You don't know. I mean, just showing them a picture. They like to show children pictures. Whenever they come and protest our church, they're like showing little children pictures of pornography as they walk into our church building. Why would they do that? Because they want to corrupt their minds because they're evil. They want to put some image in their mind that they can never get out. And you want me to let them in our church? Look at what they're doing outside of our church. Anyway, on to the next point. Following false prophets and bad people off a cliff. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or drunkard or an extortioner. With such an one, know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within. But them that are without, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourself that wicked person. The Bible explicitly tells us to stay away from bad people. And you know, look, not everybody that does one of these sins is a reprobate. I'm not saying that they are. But I am saying that you should put away from yourself that wicked person. God's calling them a wicked person. God's saying they're a wicked person. But you know what I find? A lot of times when we'll mark somebody in our church or we'll kick somebody out, that people are still talking to them afterwards. Why would you do that? Like, well, you're just trying to cover something up, Pastor Thompson. That's why you didn't want us to talk to him anymore. No, I don't want you to talk to him anymore because they're a wicked person. That's why. And you know what? Before Ryan and Chad made their stupid videos about me, they're filled with lies, by the way. Before that ever happened, I marked them at our church. And then I have Ryan texting me saying, people from the church are telling me that you marked me or whatever. So what does that tell you? And we did that privately as a church. Because at that point, you know, I'm still like, well, I'm not sure if this guy's a reprobate or what's the deal. But one thing I do know is that he's accusing one of my pastor friends of being a reprobate. They're saying that he's a false prophet, that he preaches a false gospel. And you know what it's about? It's about them thinking that you can be a born-again, Bible-believing Baptist, and then you can say, well, you know what? I'm just going to go join the Mormon church. I'm going to believe everything they believe.
Idiot.
That's it. That's why he's a false prophet. We're teaching perseverance of the saints. Pastor Anderson's preaching and teaching perseverance of the saints. Pastor Mahe, we're all preaching perseverance of the saints because we don't believe. You know what? People can pretend to be something that they're not.
Right.
But you just think they're all saved because they, You know, now all of a sudden they're a cardinal in the Catholic Church, and you're thinking they're still saved? Because if you believe not, that's stupid.
Right.
You can't be some kind of hierarchy Mormon and you're still saved because you made a profession of faith. Look, we don't believe that they ever were saved. That's the point. And if someone's doubting their salvation over and over and over again, and Pastor Mejia is showing them scripture after scripture after scripture, how you can't lose your salvation, how it's everlasting life, and then the person's like, yeah, I don't know, I still just don't get it. That person's probably not saved because they don't understand it. It's not that they lost their salvation, it's just that they never had it. And if you still, you know, there's people that are in Baptist churches all the time. My wife got a lady that was at our last church before we started Sure Foundation Baptist Church or Verity Baptist Church Vancouver. She was in the nursery taking care of people's babies, and my wife went in there and she perceived that she wasn't saved. She'd been going to that church for 7 years. How do you go to a church for that long and you're not saved? Because obviously somebody missed something. But I mean, there could be people in this building right now that aren't saved. People can pretend. And so to call him a false prophet because of that is wicked. And you know what it is? It's railing. It's a railing accusation. And you know why I marked them? Because they're railers. And apparently thieves and Judases too. And it's not, you know, we're going to leave the church quietly. As they just go and message women, woman after woman in our church, messaging them things like, Pastor Mejia, hey, how's your kids doing? Oh, that's great. Hey, we're just excited to see you again. By the way, did you know Pastor Mejia is a false prophet and Pastor Thompson agrees with him? Am I not supposed to mark those people at our church and yet people will still contact them and be friends with them? It's wicked. And the Bible says, put away from among yourself that wicked person, not go have a makeup session and have coffee and tea with them when they come to town again. But yet people just don't understand that, you know what, this is the kind of thing that will destroy you. You're like, well, how so? Well, I'll tell you what, if you're caught, you know, after you've been told to avoid that person and you're still hanging out with them, you know what, God's going to rain thunder clouds down on your head too. Like, you're just threatening people, Pastor Thompson. No, this is what the Bible says. Turn to Numbers chapter 16. So I guess I might as well just officially mark them in public too. Ryan and Greta Gallagher are railers, and they're wicked, and they're thieves, and they're liars, and they're marked from Sure Foundation Baptist Church, and hopefully you mark them in your lives too. I don't have any authority over this church or whatever, but I'm pretty sure that Pastor Shelley doesn't want you to talk to him either. I think he made a video about that. And furthermore, Chad and Jessica Argon are marked from our church too. You're like, well, you know, maybe he's just, I don't care. The guy flat out lied about me multiple times. His wife is a liar. She's a big mouth railer too. Numbers chapter 16, look at what happens when people that are wicked go against the leadership. Numbers chapter 16, verse 19, it says, and Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. The glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate from among from yourselves among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. So, what's he say? Separate from among them. Get away from these people. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. God names the names. God says, get away from these people. These people are trying to overthrow the leadership. These people are trying to put themselves in positions of authority that they don't belong to. They don't belong in that position. And it says, and Moses went up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these, what's it say? Wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins. So you know what's going to happen? If you're wrapped up with these people and you're like, well, I think that they might be right. I think that they have something. Hey, if you go to my church and we've marked these people and you're still having fellowship with them, dude, just do me a favor and leave. Because you know what? I don't want God's wrath coming down on me because you're in my building. It says, lest you be consumed in all their sins. Why does God say depart from them? Get away from them. Isn't it funny how 1 Corinthians says to depart, you know, get away from, put away from yourself that wicked person? And right here, it's saying the same thing. See, the same doctrines in the Old Testament. Get these wicked people out of your congregation. It says, so they got them up in verse 27. They got them up in the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, hereby ye shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open up her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertain unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then you shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord. And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up and their houses and all the men that appertained unto Korah and all their goods. So these men split hell wide open. That's where we get the term, they split hell wide open. Moses said, if they die the death of a common man, then God hasn't spoken by me. And what happens? God says, yeah. Yeah. And then the earth opened up, and they split hell wide open. And they dropped. So the pit that it's talking about is hell. Look at verse 33. They and all that appertained to them went down alive into the pit. And the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. So why did God say to get away from them? Because you know what? You would have went down with the rest of them. And they were smart enough to get away, weren't they? But here's the thing. Here's what happens a lot of times. People will get kicked out, and then eventually people will go back to them even afterwards and feel sorry for them. But here's the thing. Were these people saved or not saved? They're unsaved. Nobody goes to hell unless they're not saved. It says in all Israel, verse 34, were round about them and fled at the cry of them. They fled at the cry. These guys are, you know, hell's opened up. And they went alive into the pit. And they said, lest the earth swallow us up also. And there came out a fire from the Lord to consume the 250 men that offered incense. So he smoked those guys too. But on the morrow, here's what happens. All the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, you have killed the people of the Lord. And this is what happens when we spiritually kill the people of the Lord. When we kick somebody out of one of our churches and we, you know, say all these things that they've done and mark them, they're like, you got rid of the people of the Lord. That's what these people did too. And you know what? It makes God really angry. It makes him very upset. They're saying, you know, were these people were unsaved. And they're saying, you killed the people of the Lord. They're calling reprobates the people of the Lord, aren't they? Look at verse 42. And it came to pass, when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron, they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord appeared. It's like, uh-oh, God's showing up again tomorrow. And Moses and Aaron came before the tabernacle of the congregation. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, get you up from among the congregation, that I may consume them as in a moment. So, your sympathy upon these false prophets and these false accusers, God's not happy with it. He's angry with it. He said, let me get away from these people so I can consume them in a moment. He's about ready to do to the people of the Lord that he did to the fake people of the Lord to drop down into hell. Because he was angry. Because they're calling them the people of the Lord and they're rising up still against the congregation. They're murmuring. They're complaining about the leadership for doing what God told them to do. God told them to do that. It says, and they fell upon their faces, and Moses said unto Aaron, take a censer and put the fire therein from off the altar and put on incense and go quickly unto the congregation and make an atonement for them, for there is wrath gone out from the Lord. The plague is begun. You know what? Don't be surprised if you support these kind of losers, and these kind of wicked people, that a plague might not come onto your life. And it happens. They're like, what happened to them? I don't know. A plague came upon their life. And it says, and they that died of the plague were 14,000. Oh, excuse me. Let me, verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. You know what, as pastors, sometimes, you know, we try to help the congregation to say, look, they really are bad. Here's the evidence. You know, and they're like, I don't know. They made this video. They seem pretty convincing. You know what? These people, they do seem convincing. But when you look at it for what it really is, it's not really that convincing. You have lack of discernment if you think that. You know what? You know what side God's on? He's on the side of the man of God. And it says, he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was staying. Sometimes us as pastors, we're trying to stay between the dead and the living. We're trying to help you to not have the plague on your life and say, hey, stay away from these people. Get away from these people. But they're like, you killed the people of the Lord. Hey, I can't help you if you can't discern the difference between right and wrong. The difference between a false prophet and a real prophet. The difference between a pastor that's leading a church and trying to do great works for God and trying to preach his heart out every single week and try to give you everything you need, and then you just side with the first clown that turns against them. I mean, how many people have to get, you know, roasted before you actually believe the truth? And it says, and they that died in the plague were 14,700 besides them that died about the matter of Korah. And Aaron returned with unto Moses unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the plague was stayed. You know what? I don't want people to get caught up in the plague. I don't want people to get hurt by these bad people. And that's why you're like, why do you always preach about this kind of stuff? Because obviously the message isn't being heard by everybody. But you know, sometimes the trash just takes out the other trash with it. But you know, sometimes good people get taken out because of the trash. But you know, the first thing you should have noticed is that when Ryan and Chad had their little Why We Left Sherp Foundation Baptist Church moment, that as soon as they left, they just yoked up with the worst people in history. Parting all of their, you know, Seth, I mean, a who's who of the worst enemies of the new IFB just come and converge upon all these things. And they're like, heart, oh, I love you. Pin their comment. Pin Michelle Morgan's comments on your video. Adam Fannin shows up. It's just like, you know, they've all just collected themselves together in one spot. And the people are like, no, I think I believe them. You're an idiot. See, I told you. No, we told you. So look at Proverbs chapter 26. While you're turning there, I'm going to just read from Matthew chapter 15, verse 14. Matthew 15, verse 14 says, let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Hey, if you want to follow the blind, guess where you're going to fall off? In the ditch. You're going to not have a good church to go to. You know, look what happens to a lot of these people. They just turn into professional trolls. I mean, I don't know if they're being paid to do this or what, but they have way more time on their hands than I do, I'll tell you that right now. But look, we should be following people that are blind, because you're gonna wind up in the ditch with them. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24 says, he that dissembleth or hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Whose hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. And this is exactly what you've seen happen. Their wickedness has been showed before the whole congregation. People are like, you've killed the people of the Lord. No. Hey, stand with your pastor. Stand with Steadfast. Don't get caught and pulled away by this trash and by these trash collectors. Because that's what they're doing. They're just, you know, every time some controversy happens, it's like people just fall off. And this one, there's been a lot of people that have fallen off. They just believe the lies. It seems convincing. But when you, like I said, when you look at it, it's not. And here's the thing. They've done all these things and tried to make all these. They've dug pits. They've rolled rocks. They've set traps for us to walk into. And you know what? Here's the thing. Is that God is going to be on the side of what's good, just like God was on the side of Moses and Aaron. And God's not going to just allow Steadfast to be taken over by a bunch of bozos. It's not going to happen. No matter if Pastor Shelley made a mistake through everything that he did, God's still going to be on his side. He's going to make sure that they're the ones that fall into the trap. They're the ones that have the trap sprung on them. And they're the ones that are going to end up being in trouble. Pastor Shelley's going to be taken out of here in chains. Pastor Shelley's fired. He's right there. And you know what? Even if they walk away with all the money, which I don't think is going to happen, but even if they did, they still got hell to look forward to. Enjoy it. Sunday's coming, bozos. It says, "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. And a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Hey, you should just take these scriptures. This might need to be like the scriptures of the month that you next time there's some scripture memorization, because these are really good ones to live by. Hey, someone walks up and they're flattering you. You're the best pastor ever, Pastor Mejia. Did you know that? I love your preaching. No, I mean, it's okay to love his preaching. It's great preaching. But when someone's just buttering you up to the extreme and saying, "I never met, everything you say is true. You're the best husband. You're the best father." See the kids? He's the best father. But Pete, you got to watch out for people with a flattering tongue. And when people are lying to you, that means they hate you. That's what it says in verse 28. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it. They actually hate you. They're telling you all these great things about yourself. You're the cutest. You're the best. You have the biggest muscles. Whatever. It's like, I know. No. People like to be flattered sometimes, but you know, the Bible warns us against it. You know, the world thinks it's okay to flatter people. They just don't have any understanding. But we have to understand when someone's flattering us and telling us that we're the best, "You're the best friend I ever had." And they leave the church and they're like, "You're the best friend I ever had. You've been with me through all these storms and all this stuff." And then they say that to every single other girl that goes to the church with you. Watch out for that. "Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein." Hey, you know what I'm thankful for? That I have a God that's going to watch out for me whether I'm made some stupid mistakes or not. And he's still going to make sure that everything works out for good to those that love him, that are called according to his purpose. Amen. You know, and a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. But when the leaven goes, sometimes a little bit of the good dough gets taken away with it. And sometimes that happens. You know, casualties of war. When cancer gets cut out by a doctor, sometimes some of that good flesh gets taken with it. And I want that to happen as little as possible. But you know, I still want the leaven to be out. So if someone gets taken away by some leaven in the church, or someone, you know, loves cancer and wants to be around cancer, or they like leprosy, they want to be around a fretting leprosy, hey, I want that out of my church. And hey, if you have to go because you're falling into their trap, then I'm sorry. But, you know, bye. Hey, bye. And Christians siding with these bad people and these trolls and these enemies of the Lord, you know, well, let me just give you a scripture. Let me give you another one, okay? I've given you a lot tonight. But let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. Why am I preaching this? So you don't destroy yourself. I don't want you, "Oh Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself." But I don't want that to be anybody in this room. Look at what it says in 1 John 2:19. Let the Bible tell you about when bad people leave. Let the Bible tell you. It says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, then they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest, that they were not all of us." Let the Bible tell you when bad people leave, They were not of us. They would have continued with us if they were of us, but they didn't. So that they left because they wanted to be made manifest that they were not all of us. Manifest, shown. So when you see that happen, don't just say, well, Pastor Shelley must be doing something wrong. Pastor Shelley must be, you know, he really is doing bad stuff. Why do people always want to turn on the man of God and listen to some clown before they'll actually listen to their own pastor who's been there for them? You know him. You know his manner of life. You know his doctrine. You know what he teaches. You see his life. Then some bozo from the internet's going to say something. You're like, it must be true. You're simple. You need to get some understanding. You need to get some wisdom. So, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. You're like, is he closing yet? No. I got like 10 pages worth of notes. Joshua 24, verse 15. Here's what I've settled in my heart a long time ago. It's a great verse. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. You know what? I decided a long time ago, my house is going to serve the Lord. What about you? Are you going to serve the Lord, or are you going to let some clowns take you out of church? Are you going to become an internet troll warrior? Fighting for truth and the flat earth? First of all, you have no truth if you believe that. How is it that you say, oh, I proved that the flat earth, the earth is round. You know, we traveled around the world, we proved it was round. But, you know, this flight got canceled. And now I'm just not sure whether I could prove it or not. That's Ryan Gallagher. But, you know, I put up a video a couple days ago that showed that after he went on that trip, he said, beyond the shadow of a doubt, we proved the earth is round. Now he's just not sure. But what he doesn't say, you know, and that other video is down, so you can't go find it, and who cares? But they still went on that flight from, I think, from Chile to Australia. The flight was rebooked. And they flew 14 hours to Australia, which is a real place, by the way. They filmed the curvature of the earth. They sent the video that they filmed the curvature of the earth, but now he's just not sure. Isn't that convenient? You know, some people will just say that they believe things and they really don't. Or they'll believe whatever is popular to fit in wherever they're at. How can you say that you can't prove that the earth is round when you already proved it? Just because you want to hang out with Seth Bookout. Ugh. Who would want to hang out with that troll? Have fun in jail, sucker. You better run. You better hide all them videos. You better make sure they're clean, gone through. Because you're going to jail. And you know what? You can't hide anything off the internet anyway, by the way. Just saying. They can find it. They will find it. Going to jail. So, and you know, I'm going to take a picture of Black Angus with all my church and send it to them. Signed, Pastor Thompson in church. How do you like those apples? I'll invite Pastor Mejia and Pastor Shelley too. You like this? Me and Pastor Mejia have taken some pictures like that. Idiots. Anyway, what helps? What's going to help us? I know I'm not midnight yet, you guys. Come on. If you're sitting in the chairs back there, just take a stand. All right. I'm going to finish up here. But, you know, Israel, don't destroy yourself. You know, and if you have, you know, you can make a comeback. With the Lord, there is help. God's going to help you. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. Actually, no, go ahead and skip that. Let's go to James. Go to James chapter 4. I had a whole bunch of other stuff in here, but okay, you guys understand. In Hosea chapter 13, verse 9, it says, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself, but in me is thine help. You know who's going to help you? The Lord's going to help you. And even if you do, like I said, if you destroy yourself a little bit or a lot, you can always come back to God. You can always find help with Him. Maybe you've gotten proud. Maybe you've slipped in your Christian life. And you're like, because look, pastors see it way before you ever do. I know the Pastor Shelley probably sees people that are, they used to be three to thrive, but now they're one. They're one and done, right? Maybe he saw that you used to be zealous for soul winning, and maybe you're not so much zealous for soul winning anymore. But you know what? You can get back on the horse. You can fix it. You know how you do that? You just obey the Lord. You purpose in your heart and say, you know what? I'm forsaking all these other things. I'm going to get my heart right, and I'm going to get back into soul, and I'm going to get back into going to church. I'm going to get back into serving the Lord. I'm going to sing out with all my heart during the song services. I'm going to be a good leader. I'm going to be a good dad. I'm going to be a good mom. I'm going to be good children. You know how we fix the ship when we've destroyed ourselves? We go back to the Lord. Isn't that what Israel always did? They'd make a mess of their lives, but then they would get on their hands and knees and they would call to the Lord. And you know what? He would hear them. And God knows the difference between a fake prayer and a real one. The real ones are when you're on your knees and you're calling out to the Lord, and you know that the only one that's going to fix it is Him. Where do I have you turn? James chapter 4, look at verse 6. It says, But He giveth more grace, wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. We gotta be humble. You want God to help you? Be humble. It says, Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Hey, you know how to get close to God again? Draw nigh to Him. How do you draw nigh to Him? Go to the church services. He's in this room. He's in this building. The Spirit of God is in this room. How do you draw nigh to God? Well, go where God's at. Go to the place where you can worship the Lord. Get plugged back into church. Don't destroy thyself, O Israel. It says, Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted. When's the last time you were afflicted? Mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. You know, not everything's always funny. Sometimes we got to be serious. Sometimes we got to get serious with God. You want to draw nigh to God, He's going to draw nigh to you. And, you know, it's not just a big joke. Get serious sometimes. Mourn over the things that you've done. Weep. Sometimes you got to cry. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Your help is going to come from the Lord, but you know what? It's not going to come with you being proud, you acting like you know everything. And hey, you know, confess your sins to God. You know, we're all sinners in this room. Every single person in this room is a sinner, and they probably sin today. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm sure every single person in this room has sinned today at some point, even just thinking a foolish thought. But in 1 John 1:9, it says, If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And here's the other thing, though. If you say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. This is, you know, God wants you to admit what you've done. And so if Ephraim would have just gotten himself right, maybe God wouldn't have sent the lions after him. If Israel would have got them, whenever Israel got themselves right, you know, they said, you know what, we're going to go to you, God, and then God would be there for them. Even now today, anybody in this room that goes astray and they get backslidden, look, everybody gets backslidden sometimes. Everybody feels like not going soul winning sometimes. Everybody feels like not going to church sometimes. But hey, you still go out of duty. Amen? And don't destroy yourselves and get yourself out of church and get wrapped up into all this garbage. Hey, stick with your pastor. Stick with your pastor and you know, not these charlatan fakes that have said that they are the steadfast directors. How are they directors if they don't even go to this church? Where are they directing from? A fair question, isn't it? Well, look, Israel's destroyed themselves, but in the Lord there's help. So let's not let ourselves get destroyed by being around the wrong people, hanging out with the wrong crowd, allowing reprobates and sodomites into your life. You know, and then jumping off the cliff with a false prophet. You know, because they want to drag you with them, don't they? That's what their whole purpose is. They're like wolves in sheep's clothing. They want to just tear the sheep apart. And the sheep are the good people, right? They want to tear you apart. They want to rip you to shreds. And they want you out of this church. Because they're part of the devil's plan. Don't be a part of that plan. Purpose in your heart to say, I'm going to stick with Steadfast Baptist Church or whatever church you go to in this room. I'm going to stick with them. And, you know, God is part of this church. He's blessing this church, and he's going to make sure everything works out right. You're going to go through battles. Don't let those battles stop you from serving the Lord. Let them help you. Say, you know what? If this church isn't going through battles, maybe then you start thinking, well, maybe something's wrong with Pastor Shelley. There's no more battles. Now, I'm not saying, like, if there's lack of any battles that he's bad or something, okay? But there's going to be times when things are easy and things are hard. But right now, things are hard. But you know what he needs more than anything else? He needs your support. He needs to know that you stand with him. And everybody, you know, this church house is filled, so obviously everybody here is with him. I hope. Don't let these reprobates drag you out of church. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for this great church here, Steadfast Baptist Church. Pray, Lord, it would be a powerhouse of soul winning and hard preaching and worshiping you, Lord, in spirit and truth for many, many years to come. Lord, I pray special protection upon this church. I pray, Lord, that you'd just especially bless Pastor Shelley and his family. I pray that you just keep him safe. And obviously, every single person in this church, Lord, I pray that you just continue to grow this church and be with them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Pastor Thompson. That was a great sermon. And don't forget to stick around for ice cream after the service. You get ice cream anyways, but we also broke our Wednesday service attendance record. Before it was 147, and tonight was 235 in church. So praise God for that. And let's go to our last song, which is going to be Come Unto Me, 274. 274, Come Unto Me. Song 274, Come Unto Me.